good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Things have changed over the time I've been preaching here.
Yes.
Used to be everybody was on this side. Now everybody's on this side. Things are changing around here. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Psalms. Psalm 139. I'm just going to share a portion of scripture from there. I want to talk about how God watches over you.
Check your mic and make sure it's on. Just in case.
Let's see if it's on.
The green light is on.
Okay. You turn the light on.
Don't know what to do. Can I yell louder or can you control me a little bit better? They're whispering back there. Can you hear me back in the back? No.
He's raising the volume up.
Okay, just hold your breath. And I'm going to say something to my mom. I need to say hold your breath.
He knows when you're working. He knows when you're
taking care of your garden. If you have a garden, you're probably planning on doing some things here very shortly.
Yeah.
He knows everything about you. It's impossible to hide from God. Elijah tried to do that after he fulfilled the promise of faith, he might run from Jezebel. Went 40 days out and actually hid in a cave. But God found him. You can't hide from God. You can't even hide your thoughts from God. God wants to take care of you. If Elijah couldn't hide from God, you can't hide anything from God yourself. Now just think about that. You cannot hide anything from God. You can hide things from your mate, you can hide things from your siblings, but you can't hide from God. You can't even hide your thoughts. Sometimes I wish I could hide my thoughts. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish I could. Because every once in a while, somebody says something, does something, and you tell me this way, good. Okay, they're going down. All right. You can't hide anything from God. It's interesting that we always wish that God didn't see us do certain things or say certain things or go certain places or behave in certain ways or do whatever we do that is not pleasing to Him. But one of the astounding things that I'm discovering in more depth is that God loves people. He loves you wherever you are. He loves you regardless of your location. He loves you regardless of where you've been and where you plan on going. He not only knows your thoughts, but He knows how to think positive thoughts about you. God wants the very best for you. And God desires the very best for you. And God looks out after you. You may not fully realize that God watches you 24/7.
And He wants the very best for you. He protects you. I walk most every day.
I try to walk most every day.
But what about when I begin my walk, I thank the Lord for the ability to walk. I thank the Lord for my legs to move, my lungs to work, my heart to beat. For those of you who don't know, this is 25. In 2003, they split my chest wide open. I had open heart surgery. If you would see an x-ray of my chest, you would find there's 7 titanium wires holding me together. I saw the x-ray. My chest bones have grown together, so I'm fine in that area. But the very fact that I'm still alive 20-some plus years later is evident because God's not finished with me yet. God's not finished with you yet either. God has something for you to do. God has a special mission for you to do. You may have done some great things in the past, but He still has great things for you in the future. He has something very special for you to do. He allowed you to hear the gospel. Now think about that. Of the 7 plus billion people in the world, He looked down and saw you and said, I want you as my child, and allowed you to hear the simple phrase, Jesus saves. And when the Lord saved you on that particular day or night, and you need to be able to look back at that time and realize that what happened. You may not recall all the exact words, but I can tell you that that January night, 1971, God's grace reached down and touched my heart and says, you need to be redeemed. Would you trust Christ as your Savior? There needs to be a point in your life where you know that you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and that your life changed. My life completely changed. God changed my direction, changed my vocation, changed my desires. He changed me because He knew my thoughts, and His thoughts were positive about me. Not only does the Lord know your thoughts, but let me reemphasize that out of verse number 17. It says, how precious are your thoughts to me, O God. You ever wonder why you have certain thoughts? In the middle of the night, which is my prayer time, beside my chair, I have Post-it pads. I have a pencil. And I got them out this morning, and I put them there just in case the Lord was going to speak to me. And lo and behold, somewhere in the middle of my prayer, the phrase ran across my mind for the title of a new book. And so I wrote it down, because I'm old enough to know this. If I don't write it down, I'll forget it. Now, some of you are in that fraternity, okay? You young people, you don't understand that. But your day's coming. You don't write it down, you forget. And so I wrote it down, so I have a title of a new book that I'm planning on writing somewhere down the way. But not only does the Lord know our thoughts, but He knows our steps. You ever think about that? Verse number 3 says, you comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. Now that can scare the daylights out of you. Or you can take comfort in the fact that He knows where you are, where you're going. And sometimes He makes you have a detour so that you won't go where you plan to go, because where you plan to go is not His will. It's not the thing for you to do along the way. See, He knows everything about you. He knows even before your parents conceived you. Now you think about that. God knew what I'm doing right now before 1946. Now think about that. He knew before my parents, or I guess I was conceived in 1945. He knew about me today back then. Actually, He knew about me before the foundation of this earth. And He knows the same about you. Because God loves you, and He knew who you would be and what you would be if you would just trust Him. And that trust is a daily thing. Actually, it's a momentary thing. Just to trust Him. I plan to leave here today. I plan to go to Kroger and get some medicine and get a half a gallon of milk. That's my plan. I may not make it, but that's what I plan. Because I like cereal in the morning, but I don't like sour milk. So I'm getting some fresh milk. That's my plan. God has a plan for you, and you have some plans of your own. But do your plans fit into His plans? See, God may change your location. He may change your vocation. He may change your health. He may change your finances. Some of you may be rich. Some of you may just scrape by. But God said He would always be with you and never leave you. And He will take care of you along the way. He will give you the grace to be able to trust Him. Not only does He know your steps, but He knows every word that will proceed out of your mouth. I can tell you from my vantage point, I depend upon Him to give me the right words to say here, and not the wrong words. Not to veer off track, and not to give an illustration that's not appropriate. Not to belittle anybody, because God sees the good in you and wants to take care of you. God loves you. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 36 says, it puts it this way. But I say to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. I don't know how that hits you, hits your mentality, but I often think I have a great advantage because I'm an introvert and I keep my mouth shut a lot of times rather than opening my mouth. That's to my advantage. Because if I said some things that I thought, I'd be in hot water more than what I am. But you need to be able to thank God for all that you are. All your abilities. I ran track in high school. Most any other teams, I would have been a pretty good track half miler. But I just happened to be behind the state champion. Always behind the state champion. And he was a sophomore and I was a senior. But he just had that ability to run like a deer. But it was a good thing that I was not good enough to be in that league. Because I would have probably got my priorities all wrong. But yet I plugged along. See, God has a way of just intervening in your life, taking care of you. God continues to love you even if you dishonor Him. Let that sink in. When you mess up, when you fail Him like never before, and you disappoint yourself, God still loves you. I have a boy and a girl. I shouldn't call them a boy and a girl, a man and a daughter, a man and a woman. And I still love them. They don't do everything I want them to do. I'm glad to tell you, they don't. I have grandkids, and they don't do everything I want them to do either. So far, I have two great grandkids, and they do most everything I want them to do. But there will come a day when they say, not going to happen. Because we all have a mind of our own, and we do what we want to do. That's our nature. That's our human nature along the way. But God just has a way of taking care of us because He knows every word that will come out of you. He knows your faults. But God loves you with all your faults and all your future failures. You're not going to be perfect. But you can strive to do better. I've learned the older I get, the more I understand the grace of God and who's actually in control of my life. I would have said 25 years ago, 40 years ago, that God's in control of me. And I believed that at the time. But God has a, if you stay in the Word of God, God has a way of deepening your relationship with Him. And God wants to do that all your life. God wants to take care of you and bless you along the way. Because God knows everything about you. He knows your failures, your thoughts. But one of the amazing things that I find in verse number 5 is that you have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. God has a way of just protecting you and watching over you. God has a way of just blessing you and just watching over you. In Psalm 125 and verse number 2, I can find it, it's right in front of me. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Now think about that. You, out of 7 billion people, God surrounds you, protects you, and takes care of you. He has the ability to take care of you here in the United States and somebody in Australia at the same time. He can take care of somebody in Norway and somebody in South Africa. He can take care of somebody in India as well as in Russia all at the same time because God is all powerful. God is everywhere at the same time because God watches over all His children. Bottom line, He watches over all His children. I think it's amazing when you just take a moment to meditate and think on the things of God. I think something I shared with you, I think it was you. I've learned that before I pray, I just sit and meditate a little bit about what I'm going to say, why I'm going to say it. And then I get on my knees and start to pray. And God begins to give those thoughts and help me to relay those thoughts and adds more thoughts to me. The disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. They watched Him go up in a mountain and stay all night. They listened to Him pray, give thanks, take some loaves of bread and break it, and they just keep coming about. I would have loved to have been sitting there watching that, just watching those 7 loaves just begin to multiply. You break a piece off, and lo and behold, that loaf of bread gets a little bit longer. Break another piece off, and there it goes, it gets a little bit longer. Breaks another piece off, and it becomes a little bit longer. There was more left over than he began with. God has a way of just increasing everything because He protects you. Then in verse number 6 is which really where I started this message in my mind. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. Begin to just to meditate on how great God is. How great His provision is. How He takes care of us and heals us, watches over us, provides for us, protects us. We serve a great God because He loves you just where you are. And He wants to draw you up closer to Him. But we have the choice of deciding, do we want to get close to God or we want to push Him away? We may not intentionally push him away, but we just sort of ignore him. And just do whatever we want to do, whatever we think is important. But most of the time, what we think is really important is not important in eternity. What's important is in eternity is our relationship with him and our sharing that relationship with others. And I think this is where one of the greatest sins of Salem Baptist Church. We don't share the gospel. And not just our church, but most every church. We need to be busy about sharing the gospel. In the last 2 weeks, I've lost two friends. I said, I haven't lost them. They just preceded me to heaven. But I can almost guarantee you, when they got there, they wished they had done more for the Lord. I will be in that group. I wish I had done more. And I think you will too. Because we can do more if we just listen to the leadership of the Spirit of God. And let him work in our lives. And let him walk, direct us and take care of us. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, said, "Oh, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. I wish I knew more about the Word of God." I read a portion of it every day. It's my desire to read through the Bible once a year. And I have been doing that for a long time. But I need that fresh refreshment, encouragement every day. And I've shared this with you, and I'll share it again from my experience that what works for me, and I've tried 50 different plans of reading the Word of God. What works for me is I read a chapter a day in the New Testament. That way I can finish the New Testament in about 10 months or so. I read a chapter in Psalms and Proverbs. I go through those two books. I can do that twice a year. Then I take the rest of the Old Testament. Take out the pages for Psalms and Proverbs, subtract that from the total of them, divided by 365. And that, in my Bible, because of the size of the print, that's 3.5 pages every day. Well, I can do that most days. Some days I have to double up, and wherever the chapter falls, sometimes I'm a little bit ahead, a little bit behind, but it all works out. But that's the plan that works for me. Because when I start reading the book of Ezekiel and Leviticus, I don't relate. Bottom line, I don't relate. But if I break it down where I've had some encouragement from Psalms and some encouragement from the New Testament, it all balances out. That's what works for me. My encouragement to you is if you want to know about God, you got to get in His Word. Not only be faithful to the house of God and learn from your pastor, but you have to get in the Word yourself. I don't know about you, but I need to eat more than once a week. I do. That's me. I like to eat 3 meals a day. I like to nibble through the day. My wife fusses at me. She says, "You're always nibbling on something." That's the reason I go to my office. And that way I don't nibble that much. But then I cheat because I have a bag of peanuts out there. And I eat those peanuts most every morning before I start really any serious stuff on the computer. But that's me, because I understand that I need to spend time with God, and I spend time with God by being in His Word, by working in His Word. That's me. See, your genuine love for God is evident in your lifestyle. There are certain places I used to go 50 some years ago that I will not go again. There are certain words that I used to say 50 some years ago that I don't say anymore. Because God, through the years, have taken the love of certain things away from me. He's empowered me to live a better life, at least from my own perspective. God's genuine love for you will help you in your daily walk. You just need to appropriate His love. I said earlier today, God loves you regardless of your past, of your failures, of your future failures. God loves you. If I could instill one thought on your mind for you to appropriate, is that God loves you regardless. The question comes, will we love Him regardless? That's the question that I have to answer. I don't know if you have to answer that, but I have to answer that. I would dare say everyone in this room has experienced hurts and disappointments. You may have been mad at God because God didn't answer your prayers in a certain way. He didn't give you some of the things that you wanted. But down the road, you probably figured out it was best that He didn't give it to you. He protected you. He provided for you. He allowed you to walk in a sense, a closer walk to Him. All because He loves you regardless. Now, if we will share that kind of love with this world, God will use us to change some people that they too may experience God's love. Shall we pray? Father, thank You for Your love, Your grace. Thank You for the time together. Thank You for the Word of God. I pray, Lord, You bless each one of these people, that they would understand the love of God. What a privilege they are. What a privilege they have to experience Your love. May we share Your love in our way that we speak and the way that we walk for the glory of Christ. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to